Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, here in North Point, we have said that 2022 is our year to advance. 2022, it is our year to advance, and right now we are currently in our advanced series. But I want to be clear about what we are advancing into. We say this is our year to advance into abundance. This is our year to advance into God's best. This is our year to advance into God's more. This is our year to advance into everything that God said was possible for us. And as we've talked about this year of advance in these last few weeks, we've said, okay, we've got to get in a good stance. And we've defined both of those words, and we're going to put the definition again on the screen for you. But advance is to move forward in a purposeful way. Is to make progress. You know, we've said that everybody is moving forward, right? Everybody that's alive is moving forward because time is moving forward. But not everybody's existing, but not everybody is advancing. Why? Because not everybody is moving forward in a purposeful way. Not everybody is making progress to who God created them to be and to do what God created them to do. And so we said, this is what we want this year. We want to advance. And we said, okay, we got to get a good stance. What is that stance? We've defined that as a mental or emotional position adopted with respect to something. A mental or emotional position adopted. Don't forget, adopted means to choose to take as one's own. So the mental and the emotional stance that you have right now, it wasn't forced on you by your mother. It wasn't given to you by your boss. No, the mental and emotional stance that you are in, the position that you find yourself, is what you have chosen to be in. The only way is to adopt it. The place that you find yourself mentally and emotionally is what you have adopted. So what we said is we got to get in a good stance if we want to have a chance in 2022. We've got to get in a good stance. And so we said there's this stance to advance, but I really haven't given necessarily a definition for stance to advance. And so I want to define that for us. To what does it really look like to get in a stance that is going to allow us to advance? So our stance to advance is how we're going to define that. Is it is the positive attitude and hopeful outlook we daily choose. Say daily. Okay, so it's the positive attitude. Attitude is your settled way of thinking or feeling. Okay? It's a positive way of thinking and feeling about something or someone. That is our positive attitude. It's our positive attitude and our hopeful outlook. Okay, you've got to have a hopeful perspective, a hopeful point of view, a hopeful outlook. And with that positive attitude and that hopeful outlook, we have to choose that daily. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if you could decide today, hey, you know what? I want to have a positive attitude and I want to have a hopeful outlook. And December, you could still be living off the decision you made today. That would be amazing. However, it doesn't work that way. No, it's a daily choice. It's a daily choice. And why do we have to make that choice daily? Because if we want to progress and if we want to move forward in a purposeful way, that's the only way that it happens. So I want to start with this thought today, is that things have the ability to really change in your life whenever you acknowledge that the main resistance you face to making progress is not in front of you, but within you. Things in your life, they have the ability to really change and transform whenever you acknowledge, whenever you admit that the main resistance for you making progress is not in front of you, it's not around you, but it is within you. See, I call this a transformative moment of awareness. It's a moment when you become aware that my biggest obstacle is not out there, it's in here. It's a transformative moment of awareness. And why is it transformative? Because nothing out here changes until something in here changes. It's a transformative moment of awareness. And I want you to think about it through this lens today. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I came so that you might have life, that you might have it in the full, that you might have it in abundance, that you might have it until it overflows. That's what Jesus said. Jesus promised us an abundant life. But think about it today. Jesus could not promise you something if it was dependent upon your situation or other people. Jesus could not promise you an abundant life. He couldn't promise you a full life if it was dependent upon other people or dependent upon your situation. This is how you know that you can advance into abundance despite where you find yourself or who you find yourself with, because the abundant life isn't connected to either one of those things. It's connected solely to His promise and your position. The promise of the abundant life, it is not depending upon the situation that you find yourself in today. It is not dependent upon the people that are in your life today. The promise of the abundant life depends on two things. One is that God promised it, and two, it's your position in order to get in alignment to receive it. We could say it this way today. You living the abundant life has more to do with your current stance than your circumstance. You living the abundant life, and what we say, the abundant life is it's the life that God created you to live. You living that life has more to do with the stance that you are in right now than the current circumstance that you find yourself in right now. And let's go to the scripture. This is the scripture we've been looking at for the series, and the scripture that we've been looking at kind of at the end of last year, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. He's given us everything we need for living a godly life. That word godly life, it's like a God-like life. It's living the life that God created us to have. And here we find Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, is writing these words, and he says, hey, God's given you everything you need for living the life that He created you to live. And listen, we know this to be true because not only did God just give us some good principles, not did God just give us some good rules to follow, not did God just give us some laws to abide by. No, instead, God put His Spirit on the inside of us. And through the Holy Spirit, we have everything we need for living a God-like life, because the Holy Spirit produces these things on the inside of us. The Apostle Paul would describe that a little bit for us in Galatians chapter 5, and he would say the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, I want you to notice this morning that none of these things are dependent upon what is happening around you, but instead what is happening in you. The Holy Spirit producing these things, it's about what you allow Him to do on the inside of you. It has nothing to do with what is happening on the outside of you. Now, if we begin to talk, and I would begin to ask you these questions, and I begin to say, hey, would your overall life be better if you loved people more? Would your overall life be better if you had more patience with the people in your life? Would your overall life be better if you had more peace in your mind and in your heart? Would your overall life, would the things in your life be better? Would your workplace be better if you had better control over your temper and your tongue? And we all know the answer to those questions. Yes. Yes, my life would be better if I had more kindness, if I had more self-control, if I had more joy and more peace and more love. Yes. All the things in my life would be better. So if that is true, then it leads us to this truth that many times a change in your current stance is what leads to a change in your circumstance. Many times it's a change in your current stance, in your current mental and emotional position, that actually leads to a change in your circumstance. Now, it doesn't happen every time, right? It's not, your circumstance doesn't always, some circumstances are never going to change. However, sometimes The very best way to change a circumstance is to actually change your current stance. Now, there's a common stance that exists within the world. Just tell them you're in church and your pastor's preaching a great message right now. There is a common stance that exists within the world, okay? And the common stance is this: I'll be happy when. Right? It's so much in the world that psychologists now have labeled this a syndrome. It's the I'll be happy when syndrome. I'll be happy when I graduate and leave the house. I'll be happy when I get out of college. I'll be happy when I get a job. I'll be happy when I get married. I'll be happy when I have kids. I'll be happy when the kids leave my house. I'll be happy when I retire. I'll be happy when I die. I mean, it's just I'll be happy when. And it never stops. I'll be happy when. But do you know what this statement declares? This statement declares my circumstance is in charge of my current stance. I'll be happy when means I'm not happy now, but I'll be happy when. So that's telling me that the circumstances in my life is telling me what my current stance should be in my life. But sometimes the way we change our circumstance is by getting in a different stance right now. This is what James, the brother of Jesus, is talking about in James chapter 1 when he says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Notice the word whenever. So he says, hey, consider it pure joy when you face the trial. But the syndrome is, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when the trial is over. And James is writing and saying, no, actually the kingdom of God is in a different order. And you can find joy even in the midst of the trial. How is this possible, James? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That was so good the baby said amen. Now think about it in context of what Nehemiah wrote in the Old Testament when Nehemiah said this to the people of Israel: for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When do you most need strength? In tough times. When do you most need strength? When things are hard. So he says here, the joy of the Lord is going to produce the strength that you need to be able to face your challenge. So James just takes this principle that's all the way back there in the Old Testament, and James just says, hey, whenever you find yourself in trouble, whenever you find yourself facing a trial, you've got to find that joy even in the midst of that. You find that joy. Why? Because that joy is going to give you the strength that you need to persevere through that trial. And at the end of that trial, you are going to find yourself more mature, more complete, more fruitful. You are going to find good things in your life that you would have never found in your life had you not found joy before the trial even started. So instead of letting your circumstance control your current stance, let your current stance change your circumstance. How do most people live? Their circumstance is telling them their current stance. Well, you know, this happened and that happened, and I've got all these excuses, and I've got all these reasons, and this person didn't even, this, all right, and they are letting their current circumstance determine their current stance, and their current stance is one of defeat and one of blame. That's their current stance. But what you can do is you can actually take a different stance. You can get in a different stance and say, you know what? I'm actually going to use my current stance to change my circumstance, because the only way I'm going to break out of this, the only way I'm going to change this, the only way I'm going to get to where I want to go, the only way I'm going to become who I want to be, I've got to get in a better stance. And that can't be a stance of defeat, and that can't be a stance of despair. No, I've got to find joy in this moment so that I can move through this test and through this challenge and become everything that God created me to be. So let your stance change your circumstance. Don't let your circumstance tell you what stance to get in today. I love this quote from Sean Anker. He's a professor at Harvard, a psychologist, and he wrote the book called Happiness Advantage. And this is what he says. He says, if you can raise somebody's level of positivity in the present, then their brain experiences what we now call a happiness advantage, which is your brain at positive performs significantly better than at negative, neutral, or stressed. How many of you just need your brain to perform better? Okay, I'm all right. I got my hand up. If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. Okay, and it's just, you know, got a hand up. I need my brain better. So he says, hey, there's this thing called happiness. And whenever you find yourself in positivity, you find yourself happy, and then your brain begins to function better. Watch this. Your intelligence, creativity, and energy levels all rise. How many of you need more energy, more creativity, more intelligence? Hey. Some of you are upset your spouse didn't raise their hand. You're like, oh, no, you need some intelligence. Dopamine, which floods into your system when you're positive, has two functions. Not only does it make you happier, it turns on all of the learning centers in your brain, allowing you to adapt to the world in a different way. You know what I love? I love when science finally catches up to our Creator. I love when science is proving what God was speaking through his people some thousands of years ago. Whenever they were writing this stuff down, they didn't have the science experiments to prove it, but they knew it to be true, and God was getting the truth to his people, and now science is just proving what God has always said was right. Think about what he said, what science is proving. Science says that whenever positivity goes up, you have a happiness advantage, and that happiness advantage means that everything in your life is going to function better. Now, think about positivity, right? But now let's bring it into the context of Christianity. We're not just getting in a stance of positivity, we're getting in a stance of faith. Come on, faith is deeper than positivity. Faith is wider than positive. Faith is higher than positive. This is positivity on steroids. I'm getting in a stance of faith. This is a deep belief on the inside of me that all things really are possible. This is a deep belief on the inside of me that God says that God is who he said he is and he can do what he said he can. This is a stance. It's not just a positive stance. It's so much more than that. But what does my stance of faith do? My stance of faith begins to produce the things that faith produces on the inside of me, that the Holy Spirit produces. So love and joy starts being produced on the inside of me. So they say whenever you get positive, happiness goes up. Well, how about whenever you get faith, you get something that's greater than happiness. You get real joy, joy that nothing can steal from you. You get a joy that's inexplainable. You get a joy that's unconquerable because this joy comes from Almighty God. It comes from the Creator. So I'm in a stance of faith that's more than positivity, and I've got something that's greater than happiness. I've got joy. And so if I'm living in faith and I've got this joy on the inside that's giving me the strength that I need for the test that I find myself in, then how many of you understand you are going to function better? God made you. God knows how your brain works. He knows how your organs work. He knows all about your psychology and your physiology. He created it all. And science is now saying that all of these things are all tied together. And God's saying, I've been saying that all along. Solomon said it all the way back in Proverbs. Be careful what you think because your thoughts are controlling your life. You got to be careful because it's all connected. It's all tied together. So now they're saying, wow, this is amazing. Whenever you think positive, right? Whenever you're happy, your brain works better. When your brain works better, you make better decisions. Not only do you make better decisions, you learn how to adapt and move through the complexities that exist within this world. And can't you see, this is what it takes to advance. You're trying to move forward in a purposeful way. You have got to see that this is what it takes in order to advance. I've got to have faith and joy so that I can get in the stance that I need to overcome the challenges of my life so that I can advance. No, we've been saying our stance to advance, and we said we got to get into a great stance if we're going to have a chance. And what does that stance look like? You know, taking the athletic illustration, right? That a stance starts with the base, right? There are two legs, two things in the base of the foundation of that stance. And so we said this year for us here at North Point, our stance, the base of our stance is excellence and resilience. Excellence and resilience. We talked about excellence last week, and I encourage you, this is really kind of like part two off of this series. I would encourage you to go back and listen to that message if you missed it last week on excellence, because while we are pursuing excellence, we've got to be practicing resilience. As we are pursuing excellence, what God said was possible, as we are pursuing the abundant life, as we are pursuing what the Holy Spirit produces, love, joy, peace, this is the excellent life that God said we could live. As we are pursuing excellence, we've got to be practicing resilience, because resilience is the only way that we will ever arrive. So in the next few minutes we have together, I want to answer these three questions. Number one, what is resilience? Number two, why is resilience important? And number three, how do we build resilience? So all the note takers, get ready, because we're going to go through some stuff that I think is really going to help you. What is resilience? Resilience is actually defined in the dictionary as this. It is the ability of a person to adjust to or recover readily or recover quickly from illness, adversity, major life challenges. And then it puts this word in the definition that says buoyancy. Buoyancy. It's just like a flotation device, right? That gets pulled under the water. What happens when you pull that device under the water and then you let it go? It comes all the way back up to the top. Why? Because it was created to live on top of the water. It was designed to be on top of the water. It was not designed to be under. Well, guess what? It's just like in life. Life comes and it tries to pull you down. The devil comes, he tries to pull you down. People come, they try to pull you down. You see, resilience is what allows you to float back up to the top, to live at the place that God created you to live. So how quickly do you recover? How quickly do you adjust? Now, we all know this, that there are different levels of hardship, different levels of challenges, right? There's the challenge that's like, okay, you didn't make your summer league travel baseball team. Then there's the challenge that, okay, you were in a car wreck and broke both of your legs. Like, those are not the same level of challenge. There's the challenge of like, okay, you did not get the bonuses that the company promised you last year, or you lost your job and you don't get a paycheck anymore. Okay, both of those are unfortunate. Both of those are hardships, but they are not the same. So there's different levels of hardship, but resilience, listen to me, resilience is how you deal with every setback in your life. Every setback. It doesn't matter, large or small, it's how you deal with the setbacks in your life. But I want to talk just for a moment before we answer the next question. What about when the setback is not something that happens to you, but something that happens in you? What about when the challenge isn't something that happened to you, but the challenge is your behavior? It's not necessarily what happened to you, but what you did or said that you promised yourself you would never do or say again. Or what about you flip that around and say, or what you didn't do or didn't say that you promised yourself you would do or you promised yourself you would say. You see, I think this is so overlooked whenever it comes to resilience, because this is what I found, is that sometimes people respond better when life disappoints them than they do whenever they disappoint themselves. People can respond better to the unexpected and unfortunate things that happen in their life than they respond to the behavior that they have exemplified in their own life, because then you start dealing with shame and you start dealing with guilt and you start dealing with condemnation, and then you have these things called regrets that pop up in your life, and you cannot get beyond your regret because you promised yourself you wouldn't do it, you promised yourself you would do it, and you did what you promised yourself you wouldn't do, and you didn't do what you promised yourself you would do, and now as you look back over your shoulder, regrets are packed up on on top of one another, and the thing that is keeping you from moving into what God said was possible is you have a whole sled behind you, slam-packed full of regret, and you can't move it. You see, it's resilience that allows you to move from that thing and move forward. So it's not just the things that happen to you, it's also the things that happen in you. See, we said that excellence last week. Excellence is doing your best to bring the best out of you. That's what excellence is. It's when you do your best to bring the best out of you. But this is resilience. Resilience is responding the best when you don't do your best or things aren't at their best. See, whenever you respond the best, because even after you've blown it, listen to me, you can still respond the best. Even after you did that thing that you promised yourself, there's a response to that. Even after you didn't do what you said you were going to do, there's a response. You can still respond the best even when you didn't do your best. That's what resilience is. And then how do you respond when things aren't at their best? When life isn't going the way that you thought it was going? When you're dealing with an unexpected travesty, an unexpected trauma? How are you handling that? You see, there is a way to respond to those things. And you can respond the best even when things are you aren't at your best. That's what resilience is. It is your response in these moments. So now let's move on to the next question. That is, why is resilience important? So we know what resilience is, but why is this important? I love this quote that says, resilience is all about being able to overcome the unexpected. Sustainability is about survival. The goal of resilience is to thrive. Everybody say thrive. The goal of resilience is to thrive. Now let's put it in our context and say this, that the goal of resilience is to live the abundant life. The goal and the purpose of resilience is so that you might live the life that God created you to live. And friends, make no mistake, the abundant life is not about you surviving, it's about you thriving. The abundant life is not just so you can hang on while you're here on earth till you get to heaven and you step into eternal life. No. Don't ever fall for that lie. Don't ever fall for that trick of the enemy. No, that is not true. Jesus said, I came so that you would have life, so that you would have it full, so you'd have it in abundance until it overflows. Nothing about that makes me think surviving. That makes me think thriving. That's the goal of the abundant life, and we've got to have resilience. So if resilience is going to be the thing that helps me thrive, that helps me live the abundant life, this is why it's important. Now, what do I need to know in this whole process of getting to resilience, and why that's so important is, number one is this, is that bad things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. This is why resilience is important, because bad things are going to happen. You don't have to listen to me say that. Jesus said that. John chapter 16, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Not you might have trouble, not you could have trouble. Jesus wanted to be very, very clear. As long as you are on this earth, you are going to face trials. You are going to deal with sorrow. You are going to have to navigate your way through loss. It is going to happen. You will have trouble. But be encouraged, Jesus says, because I have won the battle over the world. See, trials and trouble, they are inevitable. But in the midst of adversity and difficulty, guess what? You can live with courage and resilience. Why? Because Jesus overcame, and the spirit of the overcomer is on the inside of you. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. He overcame the world because his spirit is filling you up so that you could overcome whatever it is that you are facing today. That's why we say it in our declaration. I am an overcomer, because I want you to understand the power of that spirit on the inside of you makes you an overcomer. Why do we need to know that? Because bad things are going to happen. bad things are going to happen. And if I'm not ready, listen, if I'm not ready for the bad thing, if I'm surprised by the bad thing, if in my bad thing I have a crisis of faith, because this is not what I signed up for, Jesus. I signed up for peaches and cream. I signed up for chocolate covered strawberries. That's how I thought it was going to be, God. That's what I signed up for. Jesus says, no, I told you you were going to have trouble so that whenever trouble shows up, your faith doesn't disappear. Bad things are going to happen. Jesus told us that so we would be ready to be resilient in the moments that we need to be resilient. Here's the second reason why resilience is important, is because we will miss the mark of excellence. Not only are bad things going to happen to you in life, you are going to miss the mark of excellence. Romans chapter 3 tells us, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. We all miss the standard of God. I love the Amplified version because it actually throws another word in there and it says we all continually fall short. It's not just that we have missed the mark. It's that we will miss the mark again. Now listen, this is not a license to sin, but this is a reason for resilience. This is not a license to sin. What? Well, I mean, Pastor Philip said I was going to miss the mark. I might as well go out and miss it good this week. You know, don't know. No, it's not a license for sin. But hear me. It is a reason for resilience. And when you miss the mark, don't let it take you off your mark. Get on your mark, get set, go. There is a race that God has called you to run. And whenever you miss the mark, you can't let it take you off your mark and say, well, I guess I'm just disqualified. God's not going to use me. God couldn't love somebody like me. And take yourself out of the race. No, whenever you miss the mark, you say, hey, I knew this was going to happen sooner or later, but I'm not going to let it take me off the mark. Why? Because I have made a decision that I will live with resilience. And even when I'm not at my best, I can still do the best in that moment, and the best thing I can do is I will stay on my mark even when I miss the mark. You're going to miss the mark. You're going to blow it. You're going to say stupid things. It's going to happen. You're going to miss the mark. We can't be surprised when that happens, but we need resilience when it happens. And here's the reason why bad things are going to happen. We're going to miss the mark. But then the third thing is why resilience is important is because our response influences the outcome. We looked at this a few months ago. It's Jack Canfield, the guy who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul. He has a success formula, and it is E plus R equals O, which is event plus response equals outcome. Now, some of those events in our life, we bring them on ourselves, but some of the events that happen in our lives, we had no say over. It's things that are unexpected. They are things that are unforeseen. They are things that we can't even imagine, and those things show up in our life. And so the events happen, and a lot of times the events are out of our control, but what is always in our control is our response. And not just is it in your control, your response is actually your responsibility. And your response, being your responsibility, is going to influence the outcome in your life. And we know this to be true because we've all seen people who have been through the same event. They had a different response, and guess what they had? A different outcome. They've all been through, they were raised by alcoholic parents, but they had a different response and it created a different outcome. They had divorced parents, but they had a different response and it created a different outcome. We've all seen this. It's not just the event that defines you, it's the response that you have to the event that influences the outcome in your life. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, even if godly people fall down 7 times, they always, say always. Man, I love that. They always get up. He's just saying, like, I said 7, but it doesn't matter because they always get up. It could be 77. It could be 1,027, but they always get up. But those who are evil trip and fall when trouble comes. Other translations say they trip and fall and are overwhelmed into disaster, meaning that they do not get back up again. And we see this, that it exists within the world, right? There is this moment whenever they face trials and troubles and mistakes and people are overwhelmed and then they stay down and they whenever they face trouble and tough times, right? And this is where we get things like, listen, you know, you talk about pity. pity party, and with these different things that we say about people, right? And all these things that have come up, and we know, right, that's not the way of the kingdom. That's not the way of the abundant life. We have these things in our culture because that is the way of the world. That's just the way that the world operates. And when we find ourselves in those places, we have to get ourselves out of those places. How do we get ourselves out of those places? By changing our response. Because you fell down, who cares? Get back up. Because it was unfortunate. Don't let that define you. Don't let that define you. Get back up. Resilience. This is why resilience is important, because your response to the unfortunate things influences the outcome of your life. Now we see why it's important. Right? And I love what Margaret Thatcher said. She said, you may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. You might have to fight more than once to win it. So get back up. It's harder than you thought. Okay, just get back up. Oh, you missed the mark again. Okay, just get back up. Well, something you didn't expect happened to you. Okay, just get back up. Oh, you fell again. That's okay, just get back up. Just get back up and keep running. Don't stay down. Have the right response. Be resilient. Okay, so how do we build resilience? We're gonna wrap up with this today. Just a few things. How do we build resilience? So we know what resilience is. It's the way we respond, right? It's how we recover, how we adjust. We know why it's important, because there's gonna be bad things that happen. I'm gonna miss the mark. And how I respond to those two things are going to be big in determining and influencing the outcome of my life. So I know why it is so important. Okay, so how do I build resilience in my life? If it's so important, how do I build resilience? Number one is this: you acknowledge the negative. This is how you build resilience. You acknowledge the negative. Pretending that there is no trouble or acting like it's not a big deal does not help you. It's there. Pretending like it doesn't exist does not make it go away. Think about it for a moment. You can't build resilience without resistance. It's in the whole concept of the word. There's got to be something pushing against me. There's got to be some resistance, some setback, some obstacle. There's got to be something pushing back against me for me to have resistance. So if there is no resistance, how can I build my resilience? So why would I throw away this opportunity I have to build some resilience in my life by pretending that the trouble's not there? By living in denial about how difficult it really is? By saying that there's nothing negative there? No. If you want to build resilience, resilience starts with you being honest, and being honest starts with you acknowledging the negative. It happened and it hurt. I did it and I messed up again. I have to first acknowledge the negative. But here's the second thing I have to do. I have to accentuate the positive. After I acknowledge the negative, I have to accentuate the positive. What does that mean? That means you have to find and focus on the positive. You have to find it. I tell my girls all the time, you're going to find whatever you're looking for, right? So you got to find the way. You got to look for the positive. You got to find the positive. And then you have to focus on the positive. You got to find it. You got to focus on it. But you know what most people do? Most people flip these two. So what they do is they acknowledge the positive. Well, I mean, I see how this could be good, but. Well, I see what I could get out of that, but. And what they're doing is that they are acknowledging the positive, but they are accentuating the negative. They are finding and they are focusing on the negative, and they are blowing that up, and they are making the negative bigger than the positive. So we can see how people get stuck and how people get trapped and how people don't move forward, because there is no way for you to optimize your life without being optimistic in your life. You got to find the positive. You got to focus on the positive. And then as you do that, you can move forward. But what happens is we acknowledge it, and then we focus on the negative, and then we wonder why we can't move forward. Because resilience demands that you accentuate the positive. You acknowledge the negative, you accentuate the positive, and then here's the third thing you do. You arrange the narrative. You arrange the narrative. Everything has a story. Everything has a story. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear what I'm about to tell you right now. Everything in your life has a story. And if you don't control the story, then the story that gets told will control you. If you don't control the story, there will be a story. There will be a story that gets told, because everything in life is a story. There will be a story. There will be a story that gets told about you by the enemy. There'll be a story that gets told about you from your mom, from your dad, from your grandpa, from your grandma. There'll be a story that gets told about you from your boss or your There will be a story, and guess what? You have to decide what narrative are you going to listen to. And I have determined in my life, I don't want anybody else's narration to become my limitation. I don't want the lies that the enemy is trying to feed me to become my limitation, because make no mistake about it, the enemy is feeding you a narrative of who you are and what you can do and what's possible for somebody like you and what you'll never be able to do and what you'll never break free from and what your parents did and what they said and all of these things. And the whole purpose is so that you create a story of lack and limitation that causes you to settle where you are. If you don't control the story is going to control you. So I choose to take control of my story. Say, this is what the Bible says in Romans 8:28. Says, all things are working together for my good. Doesn't mean that everything happened to me was good. That doesn't mean that God made everything happen in my life. But we serve a God who's so awesome and so powerful and so gracious that out of the ashes of my life, he can bring beauty. That out of the pain and the brokenness, he can bring wholeness and purpose. That out of my past, he can bring a beautiful future, because he has the ability to do that something none of us could do. He has the ability to turn it all around and work it together for our good. So guess what? You get to arrange the narrative. What story are you going to build your life on? You arrange the narrative, and the last thing you have to do is you have to activate the possible. You have to take action on what God said was possible. Because this is where we find ourselves in life. We find ourselves over here having been told a story. And sometimes, you know what? Sometimes it's so easier to see the lie that's right in front of you than it is to believe for what God said was possible over here. Because when the enemy comes to lie to you, listen, he's not saying things that you don't struggle with. No, he comes and he like mixes a little bit of the truth in there, right? Starts telling you about who you are. He starts telling you about where you're going to go and what's going to happen. He starts telling you all these things. And what happens is we see it. And we give so much attention to what we see, the limitation we see, the lack that we see, the struggle that we see, the trouble that we see, the trial that we see. We give so much attention to what we see that we can't see what God said. And God said that this was possible, that it's possible for you to live this way. And we get so wrapped up over here and we start telling ourselves a story. And are we accentuating the positive? No, we're accentuating the negative. We're acknowledging, oh yeah, well, I mean, God can do anything, right? This is what we say. Well, God can do anything. Yeah, I believe anything's possible, but you don't know my family. You don't know my situation. You don't know my circumstance. You don't know how hard that divorce was. You don't know what it is to raise a kid like I had. You don't understand what it is. Yeah, I mean, God can't do it, but I acknowledge the positive, but I'm accentuating the negative. And now I'm telling myself a whole narrative and story about my life. But yet God told you a story about your life of what was possible. And God's story about your life is that you could live a life that is full. You could live a life that is overflowing. You could live a life where there is more. You could live that life. But watch this. If you want to move from where we are today and you want to move to everything that God has for you in the future, oh, please don't think that you just make a decision today on January, 23rd. Then you make a decision on January 23rd, and then you just fairy wing, just float right over here. And woohoo! I mean, like, oh, look at abundant life. Isn't this so wonderful? No, 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 no. Because the enemy and certain people in your life want you to stay over here in this story. They want you to stay over here in this lack and limitation. And so when you think you're going to get out of this and you're going to move forward, this is why you have to have resilience. Because every step you take moving to what God said was possible, there is a resistance that's trying to pull you back into this old way of thinking, into this old way of talking, into this old way of living, into this old way of behaving, into this old way of responding to things that happen in your life. And you're saying, no, I've got to push forward because I believe in what God said was possible, and I've got to take action today. So I activate the possible and I use my resilience. This is how you build resilience. And guess what? In the journey, are you going to trip and stumble? Are you going to skin your knee? Are you going to bust your elbow? Are you going to hit your head? Of course you are, because this is the journey of us moving to what God said was possible. But we just get back up and we dust ourselves off and we say, God, I need you more than ever before. I'm going to have the proper response in this moment, the very best response, because I want what you said was possible, not what I have always had. What are we going for? This is excellence over here. This is the abundant life. This is what God said was possible. This is his more. This is it. So I'm pursuing excellence. But how do I move towards excellence? Through resilience. That's why it's excellence and it's resilience working together to take me to the life that God said was possible. And don't you for 1 minute say, well, that sounds good for you, Pastor. An abundant life, glad it works for you. No, don't listen to the lie of the enemy that says you don't qualify for what Jesus promised you could have. And the promise, hear me. The promise that Jesus told you can have is not dependent upon your circumstance. It's not dependent upon where you find yourself in life right now. It isn't dependent upon what you look back over your shoulder and see in your past. It's not dependent upon the people in your life right now. It's dependent upon his promise in your position, and his promise will never change, and you can always change your position. And when you change your position to get in alignment with his promise, that's when you begin to experience the abundant life that he created you for. Man, I feel this so deep in my soul today. I feel as if I am just fighting for your future today. Because I don't want you to settle for the lie that the enemy has been trying to tell you your whole life about who you are and what your future is going to look like. Man, did 2022, you know, we're going to build some resilience this year. And we're going to start moving towards what God said. Your marriage is going to start moving to what God said is possible. Your relationship with your kids is going to start moving to what God said is possible. In every area of your life, in your relationships, in your finances, in every single way, you're going to start moving to what God said was possible for you. Every area of your life. Excellence and resilience working together. Getting in our stance to advance in 2022. You know, we're closing out all of our sermons with a lead acrostic. And here's the reason why, because you're not going to be able to advance into everything God has for you if you don't lead yourself well. And so every day, every Sunday, I want to make sure that you get, what are we learning? What are we evaluating? What are we applying? And then doing it again. I encourage you, as you come, you can take a picture of this. You can keep a running list of these leads, because I believe they really will help you. This is what we learned today, that my stance to advance requires resilience. There is no way that we can advance if we don't live with resilience. Here's the evaluate is this. Am I currently responding the best when I'm not at my best, or when things aren't at their best? Am I responding my best when I'm not at my best, when I'm not doing my best, when things aren't at their best, am I responding the best in those moments? That is resilience. And then application is, hey, build resilience. Acknowledge the negative. Start there. Acknowledge the negative. Man, this happened in my life and it hurt. This happened in my life and it was unfortunate. This happened in my life and God, that was so tough. It happened. I did it again. Yes, acknowledge the negative. Then accentuate the positive. Find it and focus on it. Lock in on the positive. Arrange the narrative. You take control of your story. And then activate the possible in your life. Take action and start moving to what God said was possible. And the D is always the same. That's just do it again and again and again.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.